What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Rip City Rundown podcast. It is 7:13 Pacific time, draft night. The Blazers have picked up two players, and I think it's going to be a happy podcast. Wes, how are you feeling?
Oh, man, dude, where do we start tonight? Because, dude, I honestly, we'll just start with this. The Blazers take Klingon at seven. Before that, this is like pre-draft stuff. We're not even thinking about the draft yet. It's an hour and a half before the draft. All of a sudden, Denny Advia gets traded to Portland for Brogdon, 14, the 2029 first-round pick. That's going to be the least favorable one in 2 seconds. So that was kind of the teaser. And then the Blazers draft Klingon, which according to Woj, I'll just start this off the top. We'll start with our pick, obviously. But Woj said if Klingon entered the draft last year, we could have picked him last year. That's how much our talent evaluators, which we talked about yesterday, even the day before, talent evaluation is what Portland has to hang their hat on. You got to trust Cronin and you got to trust Mike Schmidt. So
I fully agree with that.
Klingon to seven. I think, it's so much value.
I think something we've done the past two drafts is we've been totally just our emotions have been so high. In 2022, we were like, sharp, steal the draft. Let's go. We're so high. Last year, we were so pissed that we drafted Scoot because we knew it led to Damian Lillard. We're going to keep our emotions very steady, but I think the base of the emotions is happiness. Like, this was a good night. I said on Twitter, when it comes to the value you got tonight and the positional needs and the players you got, where they're going to play, you didn't get a guard, positional needs and value. This is the best night Joe Cronin's had as a GM of the Blazers, And I think that's pretty obvious. I said yesterday, I thought Donovan Klingon should be the first overall pick in the draft. I think he has the highest floor in the entire draft. He's the most NBA-ready guy. He's going to come in and contribute from day one. Obviously, we don't. That's not huge for the Blazers, but it's such a positive. And I think he has a high ceiling as well. Like, this is a guy that is going to roll to the basket, set hard screens. He's one of the best screeners in the draft. He's probably the best defender in the draft, I would say. It depends on what you're looking at. And I thought he should go number one. So the fact we got him at seven is, I mean, I don't care if we said we would rather have a wing. We said we want a guy that's, what, taller than 6'7"? And we got that. We got a guy a lot taller than 6'7".
Yeah, he's 7'2", and I think an underrated part, it's not really underrated, but people don't talk about this enough. I mean, he's coming from probably the most NBA-style offense you can ask for. UConn, straight culture. The dude's from Connecticut, all right? He can deal with some cold weather, all right? You know, he's going to be cool in Portland. I know, and we joked in his post-draft interview, like, off to the side of the stage. He was like, you know, I'm a two-time like champion, but I just I'm not satisfied. I want to keep winning. And we were like, well, we can't provide you that yet. But no, I mean, you thought he should have gone one. If I was going to my caveat is that I think Sarr would have been not one, but that was unique in the fact he didn't want to play for Atlanta for some reason. So they had to go Risacher. But I mean, Portland getting Klingon at seven is to me probably the in terms of value. It's the best pick you could have at seven. That was realistic, at least, because for like Sarr was not going to drop below two. He just wasn't. And so, I think, I mean, I'm very happy. I think partly, again, on draft night, we're not emotional, but the emotions are higher on draft night because now we feel like we've actually done something and have hope for the first time in 365 days. So I do think we're going to be very optimistic about the pick regardless. And I think just the way it played out with Detroit absolutely pooping the bed with Ron Holland. And you like Ron Holland. I like Ron Holland. The question is, of course, is five worth it for him? I wouldn't say it was a stinker, but Ron Holland is more of a reach. It's a reach and it's a curveball. At least it opened the door. And then you had, just to quickly say, you had your Memphis and Portland battling it out for number six. And I think I even said this, I don't know if I vocalized this to you, but I was thinking like, to me, this is the first time, at least I can remember, when I've really been heavily focused on the draft, that the Blazers kind of had things fall into place for them. And what I mean by that is Klingon might not have been Detroit could have gone Klingon. I know they have Jalen Duren, but Ron Holland going there kind of opened up a potential for Portland to take Klingon. Charlotte had the opportunity to trade with us or Memphis. Apparently, neither one of us gave enough. And my heart of hearts, I think Memphis was probably pushing harder because I think Portland had an inkling that, you know, Klingon was going to be there all along. And I think it worked out because I think Charlotte was so high on Saloon. I think if they, maybe in their heads, they're like, if we trade with Memphis, go back to 9, Portland could take Saloon if Clingan's off the board. You know, I think mm-hmm. Saloon was on our top three. It was probably Saloon, Clingan, and Cody Williams in that order. And they were all on the board going into 6. And so I think Charlotte kind of having to think about that, because people are saying maybe Saloon's a reach at 6. You could have traded back and got him at 9. But who knows what Portland would have done at 7, because Cody went 10. And so I think Charlotte kind of had to think about that. The Blazers now for back-to-back years, I saw this on Twitter, did not succumb to the Charlotte Hornets leverage attempts. That's back-to-back years now. I just thought that was funny. And also the last thing is Memphis got rope-a-doped into taking Edie. Not saying it's a bad pick, but they ended up taking Edie in reaction to Clingan being gone.
We won't want Edie. I want to say a caveat, just in case something happens at the end of the draft with the Blazers. We're currently at like the 21st pick. So if you're watching this tomorrow, Thursday, and the Blazers traded in on pick 28, just if you want to hear that, skip to when we react to pick 28, because we'll probably still be talking about the time that could possibly happen.
That's a good point. We could package a little 34-40 for a late first.
Yeah, you never know.
Never know.
I just think I am, like you said, I think it's the first time I can remember in a while that you can argue last year's draft went our way because we got the guy we wanted probably all along in Scoot, but that had such a big caveat with the whole Dame thing, and it was weird emotions. I think this is the first time in a while I've kind of left the draft really excited, because even the Sharp year, we were kind of like, oh, I kind of wish we traded that pick, because it was like, oh, gee, could we possibly trade for him? Things of those lines. So again, I said last night that no matter where the Blazers go, unless they go guard, I'm going to trust Joe Cronin. And it's a lot easier to trust Joe Cronin when I also have the same views as, like, this is a guy I think could have gone one. Like, if we went Saloon, I would have trusted Joe Cronin and been like, okay, you think Saloon's the best guy, so I'm going to trust him. But, like, I don't know a ton about Saloon, so it's hard to be like, I know what I'm getting with Clingan.
And that's just to piggyback off that. I think the reason why Clingan was a potential number one is his floor. Like, okay, Saloon is kind of the boom or bust pick, so to speak. Clingan has a solid high floor. Like, you know what you're going to get out of him, assuming health and everything. Of course, like, health is for every player the biggest thing, and we all know what has happened with bigs in Portland before, and mm-hmm. no one wants that, but it needs to be addressed. And I have my computer on top of a wood right now, so I'm going to knock on it. All right, I just knocked on it. But no, I think Clingan having such a high floor, but also having that ceiling as well, because I think the knock on Clingan is what? Sorry,
saw a tweet just Clingan talking, saying I want to bring championships back to Portland. Well, last guy that led us to a championship was a white center.
I literally was about to say that. I'm not gonna do the bad take thing, but my first thing was like, as a joke, Bill Walton part two. As a joke, I don't think Clingan will ever be as unique and as energetic as Bill Walton. Bill Walton's like the most unique personalities ever. But yeah, Clingan's got a high ceiling as well as the high floor, and I think that's where the Blazers probably. And again, it's set. He's 7'2", and I made this joke too. Like, unfortunately, Wembanyama is probably resetting the standard for like what you need in the NBA. And I'm just saying, like, how many, like, Jokic and Embiid are great, but how many dudes are going to go meet Wembanyama at the rim? Clingan will get dunked on by a Wembanyama, 100%.
Probably in the Western Conference Finals in 27.
And the knock on Clingan is, okay, so he does have an injury history. You know, he did have a foot injury, small. But again, with these big guys, you can't take a chance, or not take a chance, but it's always going to be in the back of your mind. And then, of course, it's similar with Edie, but not as pressing. It's just lateral movement, how he's going to look on the perimeter, and if one day he can extend his range, which I'm sure he's capable of. I'm not sure. We're definitely not going to ask him to do that for the foreseeable future. But you even said, like, a Valanciunas-type offensive game. He's going to be better than Valanciunas defensively, I think.
I think his, like, ceiling could be of, like, post-up offensive game. His ceiling could be Valanciunas, but I don't think that's what the Blazers want him to be.
I agree.
Don't want him to be a back-to-the-basket center. Like, that's what you're getting in Zach Edey. If we had drafted Zach Edey, that's why I would have been frustrated, because I think that's too one-dimensional, because when Zach Edey's on the floor, to be successful, he kind of needs the ball in his hands. Donovan Clingan. Again, I'm comparing all these guys that can catch lobs to Derek Lively, but he could be like a rookie Derek Lively his rookie year. Like, he could have that big of an impact. I really think like Klingon could. I wouldn't be surprised if Klingon is a favorite to win Rookie of the Year. I know he's not going to get the gaudy stats, the points, but he's going to get the blocks. He's going to get the boards. He's going to have the opportunity, and we'll go into that. We've still got a lot to discuss when it comes to roster construction and who's on the team. But this guy's NBA ready, and he fits what the modern NBA is. Sure, he's not a stretch big, but yeah. I think you can you go two lines with two ways with an NBA center in today's NBA. You get the guy that can be the stretch big, and then or you get the guy that's the rim running defender. Like you can go with, and of course you want the perfect mold of both for a great NBA center. But like we just saw in the two teams in the finals. Obviously, you want to be like the two teams in the finals because those were the two best teams this year. You had a team with a Porzingis and a Horford. Stretch bigs that could protect the rim. Horford not as good as Porzingis, but stretch bigs that weren't really back to the basket. On the other side, you had guys that were lob threats. And the other guy, and I think you're more looking at, for the Blazers, you want to be more like the Dallas mold. You hope Scoot can be your Luka Doncic. Obviously not to Luka's level, but the guy that's attacking defenses, throwing lobs. So yeah. I'm very happy with the Klingon pick all in all.
And I think that an underrated part of Klingon's game that people have been discussing is he can playmake a little bit. I mean, at UConn, he was used as a hub. He's a capable passer. I'm not saying he's the playmaker that Nurk is. He's a great screener. And that's the other thing is you not to, and we'll talk about Aiden and Robert Williams, and we can talk about Duop Reith and Baji for feeling it, but who knows? But just to have a guy in Klingon who is young and who just someone who can provide some stability, I guess, not that Aiton can't, but a little more like defined role in terms of like, Klingon, you're not going to take mid-range jumpers and you don't have to have 20 shots a game to have a role on this team. And that's not a shot at Aiton. I'm just saying, I think it makes it easier and simpler for Scoot in year two when you have a 7-2 guy setting a screen for you and can run to the rim.
That's something I just thought of. I think this pick, not that getting a wing wouldn't have been this way because it would have fit the mold we needed, but this pick specifically is like, it's not signaling this, but it's almost like, okay, Scoot, like this is a guy for you. Like this fits your game. This is a guy that's perfect with you. I don't think Aiton and Scoot were a perfect fit together because Aiton, again, wants the ball a little more. Now, Aiton was amazing to end the year. 22 and 14.
Yeah. Yep.
What were you saying?
Yeah. I was just going to say, anything else on Klingon? Like specifically?
I'll just say, I think I like another reason I like the pick a lot is because you're slowly starting to see the type of roster and players complementing each other. And that goes for the other guy we got tonight, which we'll get into later.
Helps when you get a 7, and when he's 7-2. Paints a clearer picture. Let's move into, just because we're talking about centers, let's talk about Aiton, Time Lord, what we're thinking here, and then we'll jump into Denny and the whole Washington Wizards move we had earlier. You said, you made a comment that prompted this to me. You didn't mean to do this, but it made it seem like Aiton's no longer has a role on this team. And I want to ask you, do you think now all of a sudden Aiton is on trade watch, for example, or do you think he's a guy that can coexist with Klingon for a year, half a year to the deadline, into the summer? Is this something the Blazers, do they want to ease Klingon in or throw him to the Wolves at center day one? No one knows the answer to this, obviously, but what do you think we should do?
For Aiton, I would be surprised if Aiton's not on the team starting at center to start next year. I think I would be also surprised if Robert Williams is on the team. I think that's the next expendable guy. I think a irresponsible thing to do is just trade the guy just because you drafted his possible replacement. It would have been malpractice to trade Anthony last year just because we got Scoot.
I agree with that, and I'm in your camp there. I think if I was making an argument the other way, the only thing I would say is, in terms of if you had to trade one, I mean, who knows what we do? We could have all those centers on the roster, and who knows? But if we're choosing between Aiton and Robert Williams, I think there's a case to keep Robert Williams and trade Aiton now because Aiton kind of revitalized his value a little bit. The contract's crap. It doesn't matter how good he's going to play. The contract's crap. So that's just the fact of the matter there. But I feel like Time Lord's, I feel like if you trade Time Lord now, you're kind of trading him at an all-time low because he didn't play at all. And I think he's a guy you want to keep around the deadline, kind of showcase a little bit.
Okay,
I think that's just me talking, though.
I do think that's a good point, actually. I think you're, like you said, Time Lord's value is probably at its lowest it's been, at least at his time on the Blazers. So, sure, would you like him to be healthy, play really well for a two-month stretch? Hope he stays healthy for that stretch and then flip him at the deadline. I think that's a very realistic way to go.
Yeah,
I just think, again, things change in the NBA so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily want to give up on Ayton just yet because as much as I'm saying Klingon has the highest floor, like that's also because this draft isn't crazy elite. Like I mean, we saw Gaffer and Lively coexist fine for a whole year. I'm sure Ayton and Klingon can do that for a year. Like you said, Ayton just had a great second half of the year. So, like, he was improving with the Blazers. I mean, I saw some people say, oh, Ayton, you can finally play the four because you're too soft to play with the fives. I don't want to do that. That's just too many big people on the floor at one time. I mean, Ayton commented on the Trailblazer post saying, yes, sir, to Klingon being drafted. So,
yeah.
I don't think you're going to see Ayton, like, be pissed off that we drafted this guy because – honestly, I think Ayton is one of those guys that his attitude is not going to change no matter what. He's happy. He's making money. Is that a great thing for him to not have some killer attitude? I mean, no, but he's not like some dude that doesn't care at all. I think he's a pretty even-keeled guy, and his attitude's not going to change that much.
Yeah, and I think Ayton, his it would be irresponsible for the Blazers to trade Ayton without Klingon stepping on the floor. That's an emotional play that's coming out of tonight of drafting him.
Yeah.
I definitely think having a Ayton Klingon front court is great in terms of starting and bench. But the other thing is, and kind of making this narrative or making this point more generally now to the Blazers roster in totality, is you with drafting Klingon, you like you said, you have a vision now. You've put pen to paper in the sense of you kind of can see what this team wants to do. And I don't know. I just think that
I'm dreaming right now. I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking, like, of all the guys we've gotten for the future, who's our point guard hopefully for the future?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, just
let me go through this thought exercise for me. I feel really good right now. Who's our point guard for the future?
Scoot.
Who's our shooting guard?
Sharp.
As of right now, who's our small forward?
I guess Advia.
Advia. Who's our center?
Klingon.
Do we have a four?
Jeremy right now, but...
But for the future. For the future. Who could we possibly be wanting the draft in the 2025 draft that fits like a glove at number one?
Cooper Flagg. No.
That's why I like the Klingon pick a lot, because it's not a guy that like needs the ball in his hands. So you're not like, it's always scary to have so many young guys on the roster, because it's like with Pistons right now, you have Asar, you've got Ron Holland, you've got Jaden Ivey, and you've got Cade Cunningham. Those are all guys that aren't off ball shooters, so they all need the ball in their hands. So it's clunky. Like,
I agree. And fun.
I see a vision.
If we just want to talk about Detroit, they don't have any shooting, but that's neither here nor there. I was just going to say, with kind of seeing the blueprint now, it's you start to think as fans, you start to think as probably even Joe Cronin, you start to think like, what is a, you know, Simon, is Simons a part of this team for the future? I think Simons has more of a future with this team than Jeremy Grant does, for sure. Jeremy Grant's like going to be the next domino, I think, to fall. I'm not saying that domino's soon. I think it's, I don't know, it's soon-ish. I mean, define what soon, next summer deadline. Yeah. I mean, I think, but now you start asking yourself, does Jeremy Grant go get us draft? Does he get us draft compensation? Does he get us another young player? I mean, it's you start with Klingon now, you can see the vision, and now you're starting to like these guys who have been the stopgap guys. Jeremy Grant's the definition of that, just by the way. It's just something now. You can start thinking about the next step. It was premature before the draft to think, what are we going to do with Jeremy? Because, like, yeah. you didn't know. Are we going to take a wing? Does Jeremy need to mentor Cody Williams? But now you have, like, a center who people can say can, I'm not going to say start day one, but was a guy that could have been a number one overall pick. and he's a guy that comes from, I'm going to assume he's a mature guy coming from UConn, back-to-back champ. I'm going to assume he's mature, and side note, watched too many Arizona State games back in the day. We'll just say that. I'm sorry. I had flashbacks right there.
And I agree. Like, getting a guy from UConn is, in a draft of uncertainty, go ahead and go with guys that have played for a national championship team, and this guy has been for two times. Before we go into the other guy we brought in tonight, there's pros and cons to every move. The one I think thought that came to my mind when we took Kling in is, dang, it's unfortunate because the two guys we traded, two of the main pieces of the Damian Lillard trade were centers, and this is kind of signaling both of them might not be a part of our future. Your response to that?
I think my response to that would be, yes, I agree it is unfortunate. And even with, it just happened last year that the can't miss prospect was a point guard. And probably unfairly to Scoot, we compared him to Damian Lillard because of the positional similarities, obviously. This year, we wouldn't be talking about this if the can't miss guy that fell to seven was a small forward. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be talking about that. So it is unfortunate, and you can't plan for that. Now, what you could, if you're not part of the Crone zone, you can say, well, they've liked Klingon for 2 years. They should have asked Boston for a non-center if they knew Klingon was an option. But again, you still have to be like, they probably, before the draft lottery, they were like, okay, well, Klingon's number one on our board. We got to be top three. We got to get in the top three to get him.
Yeah.
And he fell to seven. So you can't project that. So yes, I think it's unfortunate. But also, we've now seen, I mean, Denny Advia is now a part of the Damian Lillard trade. I mean, mm-hmm. It's never going to stop. It's just going to keep going down the line. But I mean, it just provides you flexibility of potentially trading someone in the future. And we talked about it. We're comparing Klingon to Ayton. Ayton's the better player. Obviously, went to the finals. I mean, he's a top half of the league center. You could argue he's a top 10 center when he's engaged. But he's on a bad contract. He is young. He's 25. But now Klingon is going to be on this rookie deal for freaking 5 years. And he's already a better defender than Ayton is, mm-hmm. at least at the rim. And I think for, like you said, when you have ball dominant players, in terms of fit, I can convince myself that Klingon is a better fit than DeAndre Ayton. And I don't think saying we drafted a center here is fair to now go back in time and be like, well, why did we trade for a center? It was Ayton for Nurk. I mean, who?
No,
that's
yeah.
Great.
No.
That's
no.
great.
I kind of agree with exactly what you're saying. It's one of those things where it's kind of, you can just say, dang. Kind of unfortunate how it turned out, but that doesn't change the fact that we got a guy at seven that shouldn't have been there at seven, and we got a guy that, I mean, you can't be mad at leaving. So that's kind of anything else before we close the book on the Klingon side of tonight?
Nothing. I don't want to be too excited because who knows? He could be bad.
The second thing we'll talk about. But the first thing the Blazers did on draft night, I'm going to kind of just spill everything just so I don't forget anything, and then I'll let you yap. The Wizards traded Denny Avdija to the Blazers for Malcolm Brogdon, the 14th pick, a first-round pick in 2029 that's going to be less favorable, so probably not that valuable, and two second-round picks. Avdija, I'm just going to read a tweet from NBA University. I'm just going through kind of what I retweeted and stuff like that. Avdija is on a clear upward trajectory as a 23-year-old 6'9 ball handler that can defend. Feels very unlikely anyone drafted 14th in this draft will have as much promise as Denny. Big time talent infusion for Portland. Absolutely love this swing for him. I said, this is my own tweet. This is not someone else's. So give me some props for it. Brogdon, 2 firsts and 2 seconds for Avdija. I like the player and fit, but that seems so steep. Makes me think Brog has zero value and 14 is worth nothing, which we expected. The optics may look like an overpay, but the odds you get a guy like Denny from what you gave up was very slim. Oh, and the contract is Beautiful.
It's elite.
As of now, and I think I'm officially declaring this, this is a good trade for Cronin and Co. It takes you under the luxury tax. You save $16.8 million, and you get a two-way player that's 6'9", and he's only 23 years old.
And so
all of that sounds really good.
It does sound good. And I think for people who are hung up on the draft compensation, well, when you shave $16 million and you get the younger, better prospect, that it's going to cost you something. And it is kind of strange. I don't think you see this very often, bad team trading to another bad team like this.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Wasn't expecting it.
It's interesting that what – I mean, I'm not sure what Brogdon's – you got to think they flip Brogdon. That'd be my guess. They might hold on.
Yeah, they will. I'm just curious what it would be.
I mean, I guess they could hold him to the deadline and then get like a Clippers or something who just need like – who, of course, they're always in the market for someone. My thoughts on Denny Advia. When the trade first happened, I was like, really? And that's not a knock on Denny. I just think when you watch players – I mean – Wizards fans probably think the same about like Shaedon Sharpe, honestly. And Blazer fans think Shaedon Sharpe is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I think Wizards fans might be like, Shaedon Sharpe's good, but like, is he that good? Because you play for such a bad team. And I think that masks people's talent sometimes. Like, we went to the Washington-Portland game when we lost by one in Portland. And Denny, like, he's 6'9". He is a shooter. He can defend, but he's
didn't
not
leave that game play. Going, oh man, we should target Denny Avdija.
But that's more because the Wizards are a joke and not because Denny isn't a good player. And I think he fits timeline-wise. He's 23. The contract is – I don't know how they signed him to that in the first place. Like, it goes down, and it's 15 mil at its highest. That is – guys, it sounds like a lot. That is a steal in today's draft. What did Jaylen Brown get, Cole?
I don't even know.
It's like 360. 260.
Something crazy.
It was something crazy. It's like 60 million a year.
Like, he makes the same amount of money as Peyton Pritchard. Like,
yeah, and he's 6'9", and he can actually he's probably better on the defensive end than he is on the offensive end, even though his numbers are good. And so I think that, again, 14 in this draft, would you rather have Advia or someone who went – or Advia
Connect.
Or Dalton Connect? I guess
I'm taking Advia. I'm taking a 6'9 guy that has proved that this is the thing. In a draft full of uncertainty where you don't know if you're getting a good guy and how bad the draft is supposedly, you said, okay, I'm going to trade Malcolm Brogdon, who I'm sure probably didn't have much value, which I think we all understood. Brogdon just didn't have much value. That's fine. You're trading 2 seconds. Who cares? We got 5 seconds for Gary Payton in the second. We are fine
seconds
on seconds.
Mean nothing.
You trade a 2029 first, less favorable. So at best, that's going to be 20th, probably.
Well, and the thing about that is like Joe Cronin, to me, when I saw we're trading 2029, I mean, it's the least favorable. So it could be ours or Milwaukee's. I don't think we have 20. We might have Boston's 2029 too.
Yeah.
I don't remember. So we might have three in 2029, the second least favorable. So the middle one, you're kind of saying you're betting on yourself to be good in 2029.
Yeah, if we're going to, like, I'm sorry,
like,
but
I'll deal a mid-20s, low-20s draft pick for Denny Advia right now. I mean, you saw what Rob Dillingham went for, two firsts in
my final thing with that is, like, in a draft full of uncertainty, when you could have got a guy like Connect, the whole thing is – you don't know what you're getting in this draft. You could just get a bust. You're getting a guy that's proven it in the NBA. He's on the same contract. I mean, a little more than a rookie contract, but practically a rookie contract in today's NBA. He fills a position of need. He's a small forward. He's not a power forward. He is a small forward, but he's 6'9". Like, and he can shoot the ball and he can defend. He's not a guy that needs the ball in his hands. And he's a guy that is going to do exactly what you need. Because there's a world where, like, you have too many stars on your team, too many guys who want the ball. We saw that, like, with the Nets. Like, I'm sure if the Nets could go back, or the Suns recently, I'm sure if they could go back, they maybe would rather have Mikal Bridges and Kevin Durant. Maybe. They would probably rather have Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson on their team right now than solely Kevin Durant, because there's a cap on how many stars that need the ball on your team. So, like, Advia fits perfectly. Like, he could be a perfect role player for a playoff caliber team. And you have him for 4 years on this contract. Like, that is, that's not normal in today's NBA.
I agree. And again, what did Cronin say? Defense, versatility, length. Shane Sharp is versatile. He's long. He has the defensive tools. Of course, Shane's going to have to actually want it, and we'll discuss that later. Scoot is an absolute dog. And then for this team to take the next step and get out of the rebuild, either Scoot or Shane have to take the leap, or you have to find that like wing scorer, two-way player. But just for now, Kamara, Matisse Thybulle, Denny Avdija, those are long, defensively minded guys who actually compete. And I'm not saying that Alfred Aminu and Harkless didn't compete. It's just, I don't know. So
if you could tell me we're going to have another version of Mo Harkless and Alfred Aminu, like that's good. Those are two quality role players that helped us go to the playoffs many years and helped us go to the Western Conference Finals. Like, we're not expecting these wings on our roster right now, and Kamara, Avdija, Matisse, Jabari, to be our stars. Like, you need your role players. I think the two things that I'm taking away from tonight is we finally addressed what we on this podcast, everyone in Blazer world, especially Cody, has been asking the Blazers to do for years on years on years, and that is prioritize defense. You got two guys that hang their hat on the defensive side of the ball, Klingon in a elite caliber way and Denny Avdija in a very above average way. And the second thing is, I said last night, like, sure, you want to take your swings, but you also want to, like, at some point you got to draft your role players too. Like,
and
you say Brooke Lopez is a star? No,
I agree.
But if Donovan Klingon's Brooke Lopez for the next 10 years, that is an absolute home run of a pick. Because now you're at the point where if Scoot, if Shaden, if this 2025 pick booms, then you've got a team. You've got, like, if Scoot turns out to be Jalen Brunson, then you've got the supporting cast around that star. Now, of course, the most important part of the NBA is to find that star, and hopefully he's on the roster right now, and that's still something that we're not going to celebrate yet. But because, like, if Scoot was so good last year, if we had a star on our roster last year, then it wouldn't have mattered because we didn't have the surrounding pieces around it. Like, the Nuggets wouldn't be good if Jokic didn't have the guys around him.
You're kind of low-key talking about the Damian Lillard era.
Yeah.
I mean, at a trying to win a championship level, this is different, but it's the same thing. And just to piggyback off that, this is a role players draft. As much as people want to tell you that this was a draft that, like, you can find your home runs, sure, there's going to be one or two home runs. Maybe Saloon's a boomer bust guy. Sar could turn it. But, like, the number one overall pick, Risau Scher, I mean, he's not going to be a number one option for a team. And if he does, I will eat my words and come back to this podcast, and I will say I'm sorry, guys. That's the number one pick. A role player went number one for now. Who knows how he develops? But Klingon is like that guy. And even Denny, you said it, without the ball in their hands, it's the most valuable thing in the league is, like, first, it's like shooting with size, like real shooting with size. Like, but then I think an underrated one, and you also have, like, defense, of course, can't have enough defense, but to me, an underrated one is, like, guys who can impact winning without the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so early. Of course, I'm not saying Klingon can do that, but he at least has shown in college, at least, that he can dominate a game by throwing down a couple of dunks and playing good defense. And it's different in the league, I understand. And, you know, rookie year, you're talking about if our 2025 pick booms, that we're going to be bad this year. We are, and that's fine, but I see the vision. And just don't freak out if Klingon is getting blown by, like, for the first couple weeks. Like, and the other thing, like, go ahead.
Here's the thing. Here's the reason why I don't see a world where I'm mad at Klingon next year. I actually watched Klingon be elite for a full year, pretty much 2 years, at the best university, at the best college basketball team, on national TV, night in and night out. I didn't watch Scoot Henderson or Shaden Sharp. Obviously, I didn't watch Shaden Sharp because he didn't play. And I didn't watch the G League Ignite. Who watches the G League Ignite? Nobody. They're shutting down now. So it's hard. It's sometimes like hard as a fan when you haven't seen the guy dominate any level with your own eyes. Of course they have, but when you haven't seen it for your own eyes, you're like, damn, is he really going to do it at some point? Obviously I have faith that they will, but I like at least know, like, I've seen Klingon dominate. He's going to get to that point where like he can provide winning basketball. I know he's going to get there. Mm-hmm. And like you said, if he doesn't, I'll eat my words. And one more thing, like, I'm kind of glad we didn't go with like the Saloon. Even though I liked Ron Holland, I'm kind of glad we didn't go with the G League Ignite thing. Like, we finally went with the guy that we went with, the good college guy. And I think there's value in like taking the good college guy, because most great NBA players played in college. I know we have a ton of international guys now, but I would assume the average good player in the NBA, of course, came from college. I'm assuming the hit rate on college guys to be a good role player is higher than international guys. So,
I mean,
you have the upside for Klingon, but you also just like, you have a good floor, I think, that you can lean on.
I mean, if you want to talk about not drafting college guys, our entire backcourt did not play in college. And I mean, we do have a college. We do have Chris Murray. He's a nice college guy, but I'm just kidding.
One day Chris Murray is going to be the eighth man on a playoff team for the Blazers, and he's going to be like Rodney Hood, and I'm going to love him. But anyway.
I hope you're right. I want to talk about let's talk about the first 10 picks of the draft and just how it went. Sure. Any surprises from you? I think there's an obvious one.
I mean, obviously Holland is very surprising. It's just surprising in general because no one expected it, but if it was any team other than the Pistons, I wouldn't be mad, but the Pistons are genuinely the worst fit for him because you need to surround him with shooting, and the Pistons don't have that. So Holland was a surprise. I mean, I still think Edie was a surprise, like, to pick him at 9. And for the Grizzlies, I just don't think he fits the Grizzlies style of play whatsoever. Because you're trying to play fast with like, Jaw, Bane, and JJJ, and then, like, if Edie's going to be your starting center, then...
It did kind of feel like a reactionary pick to what we did.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, Klingon on Memphis is disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, pairing him with Jaren Jackson Jr. is crazy good. With Jaw, I mean, that's low-key kind of what the... I mean, I've always compared Scoot to Jaw in terms of, like, play style and athleticism. You know, we're projecting here with Scoot, obviously. But I think my biggest surprise was Rob Dillingham going to Minnesota was interesting. Did not see that coming.
It's pretty cool.
I was kind of upset. I mean, obviously, once we took Klingon, we're not going to get him. But, like, I'm so high on Cody Williams. And I think it's more of just, like, a feel-good story for me because he's, like, Pac-12 guy. He's got a brother in the league. He's young. He's, like, the perfect, like, mold for what you want. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be watching him carefully because he's the guy I would have wanted if Klingon had gone off at 3. The other thing is no one ended up trading up for 3. And I think when that happened, you were like, all right, so Klingon's not going 3. It's like Spurs aren't taking Klingon. And then it was like, what do the Pistons and the Hornets do? And Jalen Duren and Mark Williams are good players, but it's like if they believed in Klingon strongly enough, those are replaceable guys. I think Mark Williams more so than Duren. Duren's interesting to me. But Ron Holland was a shocker. And the other thing is Memphis trading up in front of us, and they couldn't do it with Charlotte. I'm curious if information comes out in the coming days about what Memphis was offering. Because I'm just curious what moving up from 9 to 6 in this type of draft does, because it's not a great draft. And the other thing is Advia at 14. I know it's not actually Advia at 14, but we said we have 7 and 14. Guy's got to be 6'6 at least. We go 6'9, 7'2.
Mm-hmm.
And the optics look great too, at least for the Klingon deal. Not deal, the Klingon pick. The optics look great because, again, you're getting the value you're extracting out of that is great. And honestly, I think that's kind of stupid sometimes. And I might have said this before because no one gives a rat's ass what your value is if the player ends up being bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it just makes you look good on draft night. And it's going to look like a great pick if Klingon becomes like a steady, steady NBA big. I just think it's dumb that people say like, oh my gosh, Blazers won the draft off the expected value. Like, I don't care. Let me win the draft because we drafted the best player.
Yeah, and I'm just going to keep going back to it. Like, I literally sat here last night And I don't even know if I officially said it on the pod, but I know you heard me. Like, for the last 5 days, I was like, if I'm the Hawks, I'm taking Klingon. Because in this draft, I would rather just take the guy that I know is going to be a good player. I keep saying that a lot. And if I eat my words. Like, you got to have an opinion and you got to stand on something. But I just think in a world where the Blazers could have easily gone with the wing and no one would have been mad, the Blazers kind of went with, yes, in a sense, it's the obvious pick.
A little bit of a zag.
It is the obvious pick, but it's also not at the same time, because if you're looking at our roster, a center wasn't the biggest need.
Right.
But I like going best player available, not guard.
I'm curious if, I think going into the night or coming into the draft, the strategy was like, we need a wing. We need a wing. And I'm curious if getting the Advia deal done prompted us to take Klingon. I think if Klingon was available at 7, he might have been there all along. But I'm curious if Joe had some, like, a belief or an inkling or some sources from, or maybe promises from other GMs. I don't know how that works. Obviously, we don't work in front offices. But, like, you were like, let's do this Advia deal because what it's looking like is Klingon's going to possibly be there if, you know, Memphis doesn't jump.
Yeah, I'm low-key sure that if Klingon isn't if they're not assuming Klingon could be there, then and they're more so going a wing route, who knows if they actually go through this Avdija deal. Another thing that just, like, sounds sour, but I'm honestly just happy, I'm glad just Malcolm Brogdon is gone, because I didn't want to keep on trying to draw up trades and be like, oh, we can add this, and this classifies as the Dame package, and Brogdon actually is worth 2 firsts, but it may be, and his value so bad that he's worth 2 seconds. Like, I'm glad we got a quality player out of Malcolm Brogdon. So
I am too, and I agree with you there, because I do think that Brogdon's time here was very important. But it didn't make sense to keep him, and everyone knew that. And did you see Cody's text, by the way?
I can't wait for Cody to be back on the pod. We're still awaiting that interesting news he has.
Yeah, it's just absolutely keeping us on the edge of our seat there. I'll just ask you this. Give me a grade for the draft for the Portland. Well, give me a grade for the day, not the draft, the day. And it could be unfinished because we have a second round, and if there's a guy you love and you want to be like cool and be like, oh, this guy's going to move it up.
I'll say I hope the second round, I don't really want to go with like the high upside guy. I kind of want to just take a guy that is a good college player, because I think we did that last year with Repair, and the year before we went with Jabari, and Jabari turned out great. There's value in guys like that. So I think we have enough guys that, like, Scoot and Shaden at this point, like, they are high upside guys that we're hoping reach their ceiling. Obviously, they have a better chance than a Ryan Repair, but we have enough stock already in guys that we hope can be a lot better and hope to be stars, that we don't need to take this big ass swing. Excuse my language. Grade. I'm not going to say an A+, but I don't know really how what would have made it an A+. Maybe like not having to trade a second first round pick in the trade. I'll say it's an A. It's an A night for Joe Cronin. If we're in a vacuum, it's a better draft than even last year, because I think you overdrafted for Chris Murray. Scoot was the obvious pick, so like he didn't fall in your lap really. Like,
no, this Scoot year's way like, better this than last is, year. Because and not even that last year it wasn't bad, because you got Scoot.
No, and that's not even including the whole like Dame thing.
No, it's the thing that he said he was going to do something that he didn't.
But it's not even that. It's like in a vacuum still, even without the whole Dame being involved, if it was just based on the picks and where we got him and who we brought in, I think bringing in Denny Avdija for what we had to give up and bringing in Donovan Klingon is better than what we did last year. That's not to say Scoot's not going to be the best player out of all the players we mentioned. But I just think, like, value-wise, this was an amazing night.
So just to kind of put some perspective on, or just to kind of think about this, because I even didn't think about this, is Jrue Holiday got us Time Lord, Brogdon, and 14. basically got the Warriors pick. And so we got Denny Advia and Time Lord.
Yeah, and one of the 29 picks.
And one of the Boston picks.
So like we half traded that too because we kind of half still have it. So
yeah, so Jrue Holiday basically Jrue Holiday got us Robert Williams a first and Denny Advia. Just if you wanted to look at it that way. You could say that's good, you could say that's bad. I don't really care. I think it's good because he's 6'9" and he's on the absolute, he's like on the like Mikal Bridges contract type thing where he's like on a great team deal. Obviously Mikal makes more, but he's kind of like that. I'm not going to say he's that type, but he's 6'9". I thought he was 6'7". He's 6'9".
He's 6'9". And
he's all 6'9".
We're slurping up Denny Avdija and Donovan Klingon so much. And I'm sure if other fans got them, like maybe they have a different reaction, but we're having this reaction because I don't think people understand how starved for defense us Blazer fans have been for the last 10 years. And starved for wings and starved for shot blocking centers, not just paint protectors. Like Nurk was a paint protector. He wasn't a shot blocker.
No, this is going to sound weird and I'm just going to say it. I mean, we're starved for size.
Yeah,
we are. We're starved.
And that's a real thing. So to see Joe go this way and to see us be able to get guys that prioritize defense, to see guys that are on good contracts, literally the things that killed the Blazers over the last 10 years in the Neil Olshey era and even the very beginning of the Joe Cronin era is we got guys that couldn't play defense and they weren't tall. We got two guys that were tall and can play defense.
And they made a lot of money.
That's literally what I was going to say. And for some reason, I didn't say that. Contracts. It's great contracts. It's a rookie contract and it's one of the best contracts in the NBA.
Yeah,
three things that Blazer fans don't get.
I'm going to give it an A minus. I'll give it an A minus.
Wow, I have a higher grade than you.
Yeah, I'll give it an A minus because I don't want to do the thing where like I say A and then like it ends up. I want room for me to improve it because I think it's such a cop-out if you give your team an A-plus draft.
Sure.
Unless you're the Spurs last year. But even then, it's like it's more about like A-plus for the lottery. Like, obviously, you're taking Wimby. I'll give it an A-. I'm curious what we just to provide some context, I think it's an A- because of I think the grade could be moved determining or the grade could be moved up or down dependent upon what happens with Time Lord or Aiden. And so
I think if you have any questions leaving tonight, that's the only question. It's what's the centers gonna look like here? I don't think you have any questions about the Advia move.
Yeah, no, Advia makes sense. I mean, it's the underrated part that no one talks about is like the business side of things. You're getting under the tax and you're offloading a veteran guard, which is a good player, but you just had to do. You have 8 second round picks in the cup board. So get rid of 2 of those, please. Take them. You get a second. Everyone gets seconds.
We got 5. We got 5 from Gary Payton. So let's get rid of those. Yeah. Anything that has a stench of Gary Payton, get them off.
The last thing I'll say is A- because, I mean, at the end, just to put some perspective, like Klingon did go 7 in a bad draft. So I'm not going to like absolutely hype this guy up yet.
Yeah.
I did on the podcast, but now I'm going to be like, I need to see growth from him. Wow. I want to see what
Minnesota's happened. Going with Terrence Shannon Jr. Terrence Shannon Jr. and Rob Dillingham. That's interesting. Those are fun names.
I mean, it makes sense. They couldn't score when it mattered.
Yeah, like Shannon coming off the bench would be big. And Rob in the starting lineup would be interesting.
Even Rob came off the bench year one with Conley. By the way, did you see who the Bucks picked just because for the Damian Lillard watch? AJ Johnson from the NBL. Averaged 3 points and half a board.
Wow. I did see OKC. OKC sent 5 seconds to the Knicks for pick 26 to take Dylan Jones, the guy at Weber State. Okay, but back to the Blazers.
Well, Weber State's Dame. That counts.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think the Blazers are, I don't want to say done until Summer League, but do you think we're done until Summer League?
If you're talking like big actual roster construction moves, then yeah, like I'm sure we'll sign 1 or 2 fringe free agents just to fill out the roster, sign a couple guys, so maybe some 2-ways or something like that. But yeah, I don't think we make any more trades I don't think Jeremy Grant's gone. You don't have a supplement to put at the four right now. And I don't think he's – I think it's just more likely all the guys that we think could not be a part of the future are more likely to get traded at the deadline. So,
dude, I am – I'm sorry, but I just had the epiphany too. I'm thinking of Scoot, Shaden, Odvia, Cooper Flagg, and Klingon.
I mean
– Cole, that's awesome.
That is – I mean – the best part about tonight is non-Trailblazer fans are talking about how the Blazers won the draft. Phoenix takes
that.
Ryan Dunn, possibly the best defender in the draft, perimeter defender in the draft.
Who took that?
Phoenix. That's a good pick.
Okay. I'm glad you said that about people saying that, because the general consensus from the public, at least on Twitter, social media, NBA fans, is like Portland has talent.
Yeah.
Like we have serious talent. Of course, you want to be able to get out of the rebuilding purgatory that, you know, the Pistons has drafted themselves into again. You know, what Charlotte, like you said on the pod last night, we're competing against Washington, Charlotte, Detroit, San Antonio to like, we need to prove we're a better run franchise and we can draft well, because Charlotte's not going to be better than us from free agents.
No.
Or probably even trades, for being honest, because they'll probably just veto a trade to Charlotte. But same with Portland. So I like the pick. And again, Charlotte liked Saloon over Klingon. Who knows? Saloon could be great. That's this draft's such a wild card. But I am happy that we actually, Joe Cronin, he did what he said. It's a low bar, but he did what he said. And he didn't do that last year.
Yeah, he did.
So
I
can only... It's kind of crazy that I'm like, thank you for like keeping your word, and I'm complimenting him, but that's like how bad it was last year. So thank you, Joe Cronin, for doing that. And I'm sure you guys are very happy that the number one guy on your board fell to seven. And even if you don't like Klingon, you can't help but be like, that's good. That's a good thing.
So, this is the final podcast before Cody's back with us and we break the news what he's talking about.
Yeah,
that's again, it's not a joke. Cody has an inside source. Let's just say that. Cody's got sources. You would think if anyone has sources, it maybe wouldn't be Cody, but Cody's got them. So make sure to stay tuned and come back to that podcast, because he might break it down a little bit. And I'm curious to hear what it is too. And overall, this was a good night for the Blazers. It's a happy pod. It's a fun pod. We got defense. It's all we've wanted for the longest time. The questions are still there. There's always going to be questions until you're back in the playoffs, but the Blazers took two steps in the right direction tonight, and for that, I say good job, Joe Cronin. So thank you guys for watching. You got anything else, West?
I do not. That is all I have.
Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next podcast. Peace.